Good evening, everyone. It's good to see you all out here tonight. Father, we just thank you, God, and first and foremost, we give you the honor and glory for allowing us all to be here tonight. We plead the shed blood of Jesus Christ over each one of us, over this service. We thank you, God, that your Holy Spirit is truly here to lead, guide, and direct us. And the service belongs to you, Father. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So I just wanted to thank you guys personally for all of the prayers, the petitions that you guys have held up before the Lord in regards to me and my family. It's meant a lot to us, and they have been very effective, your prayers, during our stay in the hospital. And there were definitely angels in disguise there watching over us and taking care of us. And we wanted to thank you guys genuinely for being the family that you guys are, and the church as a body that you are. We thank you for that. And I know God will bless each one of you 100-fold. So an update for those of you who may not know, I tripped and fell about a week and a half ago, and it was only one step that I fell down. But I had fractured several bones in my body. So when they did the x-ray to see, you know, what was wrong with my shoulder, that's when they discovered different lesions and spots on my bones throughout my body. And even though we haven't got the biopsy result back yet, the doctor pretty much leveled with me and said, look, your blood tests have consistently shown that you have multiple myeloma, which is a type of blood cancer. Luckily, it has a high prognosis. It's treatable. So we're just moving forward in that, in the journey that God has us going through on that path. God has said, I will live and not die. So I stand on that, and I firmly believe that. So I just wanted to share with you that your prayers and intercession has made this transition so much easier than what it could have been. So I thank you sincerely for all of your prayers. So tonight, I've titled this teaching, The Evolution of Genetics and COVID. And what we're going to talk about is this COVID vaccine that's going around. And I just want to highlight some facts about this and kind of settle some issues that people might have or might be curious about to see what direction we should go from here and how we should view this from a factual standpoint. So tonight we are going to learn some truths and facts about the COVID-19 vaccinations that have been developed and are already in widespread use. Up front, I would like to say that this isn't a debate on whether or not a person should or should not receive a vaccination. I am not a licensed medical professional, and I do not give any medical advice. This is a decision that you must come to by yourself as you pray with the information that you have. Having said that, let's look into some facts. With any disease in the past, vaccination against a virus quite literally contains a dead or weakened virus cell of that particular disease. When it is injected into your body, it allows your immune system to develop antibodies against that virus's dead or weakened cells. So they're basically injecting you with a weakened or dead version of the virus they're trying to prevent from infecting you. Now, once your body has developed a record or an immunity to that cellular structure, the chances of that virus infecting your body are greatly diminished. It's like the flu vaccine. You get a dead version of the flu, your body builds up antibodies against it, so next flu season, you're less likely to be infected with that particular strain. These volatile COVID vaccines do not behave the same way as vaccines in the past. they do not carry a dead or weakened version of the COVID virus. Rather, the serum contains chemicals and compounds which target the human RNA structure. RNA is the counterpart to DNA and serves as a communicator between the nucleus and ribosomes to make proteins. Now, I'll break this down because I'm looking around and I didn't pass biology either. So we'll explain this in detail. These potentially dangerous serums change how your RNA behaves. It instructs your RNA to change the way your existing and new cells develop by forcing them to create the same type of protein that coronavirus carries, including a chemical and biological, inducing a chemical and biological reaction from your immune system to develop antibodies against that protein. So, scholastic mode level one, what this is saying is the vaccine doesn't contain a dead or weakened version of the COVID-19 virus. It doesn't do that, as all other vaccines have done in the past. This one's different. It tells your body to the process of reproducing your cells. It forces your body to produce a cellular structure that is the COVID-19 virus. It changes the way your body produces proteins to mimic the coronavirus. So it's making your body produce the virus under the premise that, well, then your body will naturally produce antibodies against those cells. Well, what was the point of doing that if all you had to do was just contract the disease to begin with? Why do you have to change your RNA to make, and there's no way to stop it? Your cells are constantly multiplying and replicating themselves with the code that they have within. When you change that code, the cell doesn't know to stop. It just continues to reproduce that specific protein that comes with the COVID-19 virus. So you're constantly producing the disease. Your immune system is constantly trying to fight this replication of cells. It's like a never-ending battle now. So that's what they're doing. In other words, this serum is scrambling your RNA to force the cells in your body to create the COVID virus, which will trigger your immune system to develop antibodies, which are fighting cells, against the virus. The claim that this toxic serum does not affect your DNA, the claim is that it doesn't affect your DNA, but that is a truth with omission. That's not entirely true. While it claims it does not enter the actual nucleus of the cell where the DNA is contained, it completely affects the RNA, which is the counterpart to DNA, and serves as communicator between the nucleus to the ribosomes to make proteins. It is an eventuality that this serum will compromise and affect a person's both DNA and RNA sequencing, as it has already been designed to manipulate the natural function of the human genetic code for safety reasons. What happens is when your cells start replicating this Franken cell division, your body doesn't know when to stop. And because that's all the cells you'll eventually have left in your body, when you continue to breed offspring and progeny and generations, it's going to change their DNA. They're not telling you long-term effects of this because they don't even know. The standard of safety has had reasonable boundaries for thousands of years as humanity has developed without scrambling your DNA in the past. So why is it now not acceptable to alter our genetic makeup to make it safe? Or why is it acceptable? All of a sudden, we can scramble our DNA now in the name of safety. Why is that? We've lived thousands of years without having to do that. So what threat is so great that we have to start playing around with our DNA now? The problem is not the legitimate threats being posed in an advanced society. The problem is how the standard of safety is being manipulated and maligned towards the following ideal. This is the new mindset that people have. We must eliminate sickness and prevent death. That's the mindset. That's the goal, is to eliminate sickness and death. Did you know that none of the vaccines have been licensed or approved by the FDA? They meet none of the standards or criteria to be considered safe for human consumption. Yet, they are being mass marketed to the people using Italian mafia tactics of duress, pressure, stress, fear, and psychological abuse to coerce people into receiving the vaccines for their safety and the safety of others. How is this for our safety when the serum can't be approved by the FDA? The very institutions set in place to make sure any products being used are safe for us. The FDA stands for Food and Drug Administration. It is their job to make sure that anything that's marketed, anything that's sold, anything that's advertised, anything that's produced or even used is safe for human consumption. And they have to go through a lot of rigorous testing. They need to know the short-term side effects. They need to know the long-term side effects. Pfizer, Moderna, and any other pharmaceutical brand that develops and manufactures the serum falls into the same category. These serums were slipped through past the FDA by the EUA, which is the Emergency Use Authorization Act. It basically, the government says, uh-oh, we have a huge problem and we don't know what to do. So quickly ship out the first thing that the lab can come out with and just go ahead and use it on everybody because it's an emergency. That's what the EUA is. This is a clause that allows, for example, this serum to be mass produced and used on the people without proper ordinances, regulations, and rule sets normally used to ensure safety and understanding of short and long-term side effects, etc. Even the EUA has its regulations that it must be adhered to. However, you guessed it, these companies didn't even follow the regulations concerning emergency use. One of the rules concerning the use of the EUA is that there must be no other types of medicine in existence that can treat COVID. That's one of the prerequisites. That rule was broken because there were other types of compounds that have been used to treat the virus. Ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, for example. I practiced those words for about 30 minutes each. Glad it paid off. There is a massive mainstream media attempt to utterly demonize alternative medicines, even though they are the ones that are FDA approved in some cases, and a hard drive to socially shame those who question or refuse to be injected with the serum. There's a campaign out there, and not to get ahead of myself, but the TV commercials, the different advertisements you see, you know, wherever you're watching, they're almost, you know, stomach turning when it comes to, oh, you have to get the shot. If you don't get the shot, grandma's going to die and it's going to be your fault. You know what? It's getting bad. So a Google search for what does the COVID vaccine really do results in nearly the entire first page of results being a giant propaganda panel with charts, diagrams, maps of vaccinated individuals, and links to top government and corporate websites claiming that the gods have personally handed the vaccine to us lesser life forms and that we're all totally safe with only a few side effects of diarrhea and death. That was a little over the top, but that's what it feels like when you're genuinely trying to research, what does this vaccine really do? And you're literally bombarded with everything that's opposite of what you need to know. When have you ever seen a vaccine pushed so hard before? They are paying people to get it, advertising that if you get the vaccine, you get a free trip or an all-you-can-eat dinner at some place. The TV commercials are atrocious, designed to psychologically guilt you into getting the vaccine, because if you don't, grandma will die from your negligence and selfishness. The truth is, it's much more than these serums being advertised. There's an agenda behind all of this, and a lot of tests and trials that are being done on the guinea pigs, which are us. The world has now become a laboratory, and anyone receiving the shot has entered into the classification of a scientific experiment because they still don't know what this serum is going to do to people short-term or long-term. Now, if you've had the vaccine already, please, this isn't any kind of fear or condemnation. Ask God to cover it in the blood of Jesus, and you're done. That's it. That's all you have to do. Because there's people that have to get the shot because of where they work. There's people that have to get the shot because of various different reasons. Well, if it's going to affect your livelihood or drastically affect your family relations, then just ask God to cover it. God understands that you're in a position that you needed to get it. So just cover it in the blood and you're fine. I just wanted to throw that in there. And I lost my place. Study group. Okay, we have become a study group that can be compared to other scientific groups in their study to see the effects of one serum from the others. One of the tests could be, how easily will society readily receive from the government? Quite a lot. I think 51% last time I checked, about a week ago, of Delawareans had received the vaccine. 51%, that's the majority. That's the majority. It's on the line, but that's the majority. But all of this has a specific agenda behind it, and it points to the direction of the transhuman movement. This statement is taken from the Transhumanist Association of France. And this is what they say on their website. We consider that aging, which causes vulnerability, especially of the oldest people, should be treated as a disease and thus benefit from very substantial financial efforts. Whatever the amounts, this would still represent much less than what the current global crisis will cost, which is thousands of billions of euros. What are they? Do you see what they're talking about? They're saying that aging is a vulnerability, especially in old people. Old people are the ones that are aging. And they're saying that this study into this transhuman movement would benefit people no matter what the cost, because the costs already are staggering. The costs already are funeral costs for people that die. You know, assisted living, you know, accommodations, hospice, things like that. That's what they're talking about. I'm sorry, that's a natural part of life. It's not a vulnerability or a sickness or a disease that's supposed to be cured. The movement considers aging a disease and believes that any financial cost is acceptable towards the research and development of any science or technology that will advance humans to a state of immortality at any cost. To achieve such a plan without the masses revolting against their ideals and agendas, one of the most talked about strategies is killing off the masses, thus reducing the level of resistance. You hear top people, and without getting into names, like really big families that pretty much run the world, and they have been quoted as saying such things like, and you can even Google this, if I could be reincarnated, I would come back as a virus to kill everybody. I mean, Google that one and see who said that. It's crazy the way that some of these people think, because they have this agenda that they want to eliminate the resistance of regular people, lower people like us, to fulfill their plans and purposes. Signs and warnings, such as coercing people under duress to receive a serum that permanently alters your God-given genetic structure without proper safety measures and trials being conducted, is a common sense alarm that something is wrong with the system. Something's not right here. If you could put a translator in front of these people's mouths that converted everything they say into like basic truth, this is what you would hear. We are using an unsafe, unregulated, largely unknown serum that has produced negative clinical results in animals with high death rates, has been associated with miscarriages and stillbirths in pregnant women, and we strongly urge you to receive this so you can be safe. That's what's being said. The government has enacted segregation in a sense between those who are vaccinated and those who are not. If you don't have the vaccine, you are still limited and restricted in what you can do, where you can go, and how you can be. I hate to put it that way, but that's what's happening here. They're drawing divisions. When you're in the military and the first thing you try to do to overtake the enemy, you have to understand your enemy. How do they work? Where are their supply lines coming from? Where do they draw strength from? Disrupt their communications. Separate and divide. Use propaganda to get one party turned against another party. If they can fight themselves on the inside, then they're already weakened, and then bam, they can come in and strike from the outside, and the whole thing crumbles. It's literally a military tactical style that's happening with our social way of life. Since when did all this become so dramatic? Coronavirus isn't a single virus. It is the name of a classification of viruses. Okay? It is the scientific name of the most common cold and influenza virus variants. That's what coronavirus means. It's a group of different viruses. So where was all the uproar over the coronavirus that comes each year like the common cold? Each one of us has been infected with coronavirus when we got the flu as a child all the way up to adulthood. Influenza is classified under coronavirus. See, they don't tell you this stuff. And they use these key words like COVID, coronavirus. They program the mind to have like a bad taste in your mouth when you hear these words, to associate these words with danger or fear or death. And so they drive society in one direction by using these keywords and terms. Don't let the terms they use fool you into fear and hysteria. These are all part of the tactics they use to influence people to make decisions that benefit their agenda. This is coupled with how they regulate or restrict the information available on the internet to make it difficult to ascertain the truth. Now, there's a note here about Jim Baker. Jim Baker is a man of God that I believe has a TV show, and he talks a lot about the end times. And he helps people prepare for the end times. I think he sells like survival kits, food, that kind of stuff. That's his ministry. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I believe he was talking about colloidal silver on his TV show, talking about the benefits of colloidal silver. But because it's not FDA approved, they slammed the guy, threw him in jail because he's advertising a product that's not FDA approved. Well, wait a minute here now. The government and these private corporations, they're soliciting and throwing out there all these vaccines that aren't FDA approved. Where's the police now? Why aren't they being thrown and slammed into jail? Why does Jim Baker have to go to jail? And they don't. See, these are the little alarms that should be going off, little flags coming up. Wait a minute. Something's wrong here. This is one-sided. I take colloidal silver, by the way. To shift gears forward, we need to examine the spiritual plot behind the transhuman movement. Everything happens in the spirit realm first and then manifests itself into the natural realm. This is how it works. This is why the Bible tells us we have to engage the spiritual hosts of wickedness. You know, in prayer, we defeat enemies in the heavenlies first, because that's our real enemy, is the spirits behind the people and behind the motives. So we attack there first, and then we see the fruition, the manifestation of that in the natural. It's the same thing here with all of this. The Bible is our blueprint and foundation for how the spirit realm works and what the plans and agendas are from heaven and the desires and attempts that hell makes to intervene. We need to look at the latter days when Satan is going to manifest his agents into this world. Something interesting takes place in Genesis when God places enmity between the serpent and the woman. Now in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, it says, this is God speaking, "And I will put enmity," open hostility, "between you," talking to the serpent, "and the woman, and between your seed," offspring, "and her seed. He shall fatally bruise your head, and you shall only bruise his heel." There are several things to note here. Firstly, the seed of the woman is capitalized. Can you just scroll back up to the scripture? Thank you. The seed of the woman is capitalized, and references to him, the seed of the woman, are also capitalized. These are references to Jesus, which would come through the woman's seed in David's line to fatally crush Satan's head under his feet. Secondly, this verse, you can continue scrolling, thank you. Secondly, this verse tells us that the serpent, or Satan, had a seed that can produce offspring. The Greek word used here for seed is zera. It means literally children, descendants, or posterity. This same Greek word is also used in other places referring to descendants, notably when God is speaking to Noah and Abram about his covenant. Genesis chapter 9, verses 8 through 9. "Then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, 'And as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and your descendants, Zerah, after you.'" Again in Genesis 13, verse 14 and 15. "And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, 'Lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see I give to you and your descendants, Zerah, forever.'" So he's talking about a physical line of people, a progeny, offspring, corporeal human bodies that will produce and continue the lineage. This seed of the serpent may not be limited to a metaphorical context only. I personally believe that the seed referenced here is a legitimate line of descendants from those who have practiced and taught separation from God as a condition and lifestyle. There's evil, satanic people out there that literally teach people how to evict and cast out the Holy Spirit from their beings, from their vessels. These are occult practices, and they're very proud of their lineage, and they're very serious about doing this. As with anything in the generations, if given enough time and with the right methods, you could breed in such a way as to get a pure version of what is being sought after. Okay, animal like dog and horse breeding and stuff, they get paid a lot of money to continually breed until they have like a purebred version of whatever type of dog or horse or whatever. So it's really the same principle applied to humans. And this wouldn't be the first time in history that corrupted men have had delusional ideas regarding a purified race, or even eliminating an entire race or culture as part of a method to achieve twisted beliefs that originate straight from the pits of hell. Okay, this isn't a new idea. This has been attempted before by lunatics. It's only the first phase when advancing and developing a godless breed of person, when you teach them all manner of evil and satanic rituals from birth, with which to evict the Holy Spirit from a person's vessel and reach a level of covenant and dedication to Satan that by all appearances is irreversible. But even with this, there is still a soul within that person, albeit completely bound and shattered, but they still have a soul with which to reach through. It is possible. The next level of graduation would be to modify human genetics, whereby many new and unprecedented possibilities come into play. Imagine the union of human flesh with cybernetics, augmentation, or nanotechnology. Okay, it's like Terminator stuff here, right? For example, in the pursuit of longevity, replacing a human heart with an artificial one, along with liver, kidneys, or even perhaps parts of the brain. Science is continuing to develop and advance at a rate at which this is becoming more and more likely to happen sooner and sooner. And it's all in the name of medicine and in the name of healing and prolonging life. And I'm not against that. I'm not anti-science or anti-medicine. Because God uses those to perform miracles and to touch and reach out to people in those fields. But there's a line that's being crossed here, an ethical line that is most certainly has already been crossed in some cases. The idea and notion of creating a complex computerized chip that could be integrated into the brain to either support, enhance, or modify certain aspects of the human brain. At what point does the human end and the machine begin? Within the scope of genetics, it is not impossible to alter the human brain in such a way as to suppress the regions of the brain that handle emotion, empathy, or conscience. You know, they do have portions of the human brain mapped out where they know this part deals with this type of emotion or this part of the brain deals with these types of functions. So what is to stop them from, say, for example, wanting to create a super demonic vessel that has no conscience? They should be able to do that if they've mapped those things out correctly. To adapt the human mind to have a genetically seared conscience becomes a concern rather than a science fiction plot. See, we're beginning to cross that threshold now. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Remember that key word, seared with a hot iron. Just keep that in the front of your mind. What if that biblical term, hot iron, is referring to the metal laser tool the doctor is using to burn off the parts of the brain that deal with empathy, morals, and compassion? During the surgical process of enhancing your brain for safety reasons or to cure your old age. I'm just throwing it out there. It's something to think about. I'm not anti-science or anti-medicine, but I pose the question, at what point does the flesh cease to live naturally and the spirit is yielded back to God? If the line of death becomes blurred, and if natural life has ended but is prolonged artificially, then what exactly are you coexisting with? When natural life ends and you die, your spirit goes back to God and your soul goes wherever it's going to end up for eternity. But what if your body is being sustained artificially? And your brain is still operational and you retain all your memories and you have the capacity to have all your emotions intact. By all appearances, you look like the same person, but your spirit may have gone back to God and your soul is up in heaven looking down like, what on earth is that? And no one around you down here can tell the difference. Well, if you're walking in the spirit, I'm sure you'll sense there's something totally wrong with that person. because their soul and spirit aren't in the body, and their body is just being kept alive by this artificial mechanical process, this genetic Franken mutation thing walking around. That's scary. But it's more than just being scary. This is slowly becoming more and more tangible, more and more of a legitimate possibility that this could happen. Yet, if the flesh and blood are artificially sustained, if the brain retains its functions and memory and operation without the spirit and soul of the individual, this opens a new can of worms. In my personal opinion, this would be a gut-wrenching nightmare of an opportunity for Satan to have a free vessel in which to operate, completely devoid of any restraint from the soul, the mind, will, and emotions of that former person. To what extent can a demon manifest in a human vessel that has no soul, no living spirit within? It's a question to think about. How's that going to affect demonic possession and manifestation if that were to happen, if that were to come to pass? What about the word seed that God was saying in Genesis, talking about the enemy, the serpent, having his own seed? What does that even mean? Having his own lineage? Having his own descendants? Are they already here? Do they inhabit vessels like these if and when that time comes? It's something to consider. Does a demonic spirit have the ability to inhabit an empty shell of a human vessel and use it to reproduce more zera or offspring? To potentially fulfill scripture in any aspect of using vessels to persecute the saints? We know we're going to be persecuted. The Bible tells us that. It doesn't say exactly by who or what. It just says we will be. So if it was said in the, and it was said in the Bible, Jesus was talking about as it was in the days of Noah, where there was total, absolute, just morality went right off the face of the earth. Everybody was sinning, all kinds of evil, sickly lusts, destroying everything left and right. Nobody cared. God couldn't even find a righteous person except Noah. So if that's how it was back then, and Jesus said, hey, it's going to be just like that again upon my second coming, then that opens up the realm of interpretation for us to think and see it's going to be pretty bad. I don't think there's going to be much of a structure left in society, you know, when those times come. So what else could be going on in there? And there's an army in the end times in the Bible that just ravishes. God raises up this army to just completely destroy everything in its path. How do we know it's not these demonic Franken vessels that are going to be genetically modified and engineered to be like superhuman? You know, the zera, the seed or offspring of the serpent. The transhuman movement opens so many doors that could lead to many avenues of uncertainty, fear, and destruction, all in the name of safety, healing, improvement, and development. Regardless of the implications and possibilities, the Word of God stands true until the end of time. What is written is what will come to pass exactly as it is written. God has sovereignty over all things, and he is greater than any man or demon, greater than any plan or agenda. Isaiah 46, chapter 10. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. We don't have to fear what could be or what will be. We don't have to be afraid of that. God is in full control of everything that's going to happen in this world, every event that's going to unfold. He's already mapped it out, and he's already won the victory, and he's already told us that we walk in that victory. So please don't allow any deceiving spirit of fear to enter into you. And just be at peace knowing that God is victorious already. And all we have to do is fulfill the assignments that he has given us in the way that he has told us to do them. and we'll be okay. We're safe in his hands. He's protecting us as his glory covers us and sends us forth. We are in a time when we need to be discerning and wise, yet also dependent upon God and have a firm foundation of faith in him. Jesus said, "I send you out as sheep among wolves," and then admonished us to be as shrewd as snakes, yet gentle, having no self-serving agenda, as doves. So it's important to be informed, to be aware, but not let any knowledge you come into affect your genuine sincerity of Christ in you manifesting to help other people, to go places that you know God's telling you to go. If God tells you to go in the middle of the Franken mob and start preaching the word, then go do that, because that's what God told you to do. And he'll keep you covered in all things that he asks you to do. I've learned several things in the last week and a half. And a few of those things is that you never know what's going to happen. You have no idea. You wake up one morning, you think everything is going to go this way, and the next thing you know, it's going this way. And then the next thing you know, you don't even know where you are. And it's like you have to have a foundation of God's word in you. Pastor Barbara's been telling us for years, you have to know who you are in Christ. And that is invaluable information. We have to have faith that no matter what happens to us or where we are, that God is in control. And we can't blame God or get upset either when things happen that we didn't know or we didn't expect. The devil's the one doing it anyway. If you're going to get mad at the devil. He's the one doing all this stuff. And God just wants us to be close to him in genuine relationship, honest, intimate, deep relationship where we can tell God, this is exactly how I feel. This is exactly what I feel like doing. And God's there to listen and to counsel us back to the path that we should go on. And you develop a bond when you do that. You develop an intimacy, a trust with God. And God wants us to trust him. Whether it's the end times stuff happening, whether it's all these battles that we're all going through, I'm sure everybody in here could raise their hands and say the devil's throwing absolutely everything he can at me. And I just feel like my head's going to explode. I'm pretty sure we can all agree to that. Well, be confident in that, because the only reason the devil's fighting you that way is because he knows what God's getting ready to do with you. He knows. But do you know? Do you know what God's getting ready to do with you? Because the devil knows, and God knows, and God wants you to know. So the altar call tonight is to prepare and till your heart for the security and the wisdom of what God is going to do with you when his glory does come in its fullness. This is a preparation for what he is going to do in your life. So if you want that wisdom, that trust and security from God to know who you are in Christ, how he's going to use you in the days ahead, please come up and receive from God.